Christian reading this morning from Mark chapter 1, 12 and 13. At once the Spirit sent Jesus out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with wild animals, and the angels attended to him.
I've come to realize that I am a sun worshiper. And all this rain on my spectacle. But I've realized that it's not the end of the world. Where I heard a story, I'm reminded of a woman who died one day. It was waiting on the judgment line. She noticed that some souls were taken straight into the pearly gates of heaven, and some were given to Satan, and he hurled them into the fiery pits of hell. Every so often, this lady saw that some people, instead of Satan throwing in the fiery pits of hell, he laid them in a pile, sort of off to the side. So this woman stood there watching this, and her curiosity got the best of her. So she strolled over to see what the devil was going on. "Excuse me, Prince of Darkness, I am waiting for my turn in the judgment line, but I couldn't help but wondering, what is this process all about? I see some people being able to go right into heaven, some being thrown into hell. What about the other people that you're slinging over here in a pile?" "Oh, those people," said Satan with a grin, "those people are from Portland, Oregon. They are just too wet to burn." Even in these days, it is good to laugh. I'm back from my sabbatical, glad to be back. My family and I are forever grateful for the gift of time. We were able to spend a week basking in the sun of Hawaii. I took the kids to a week to Phoenix to visit family while Kathy went to China on a school trip. I went to Vancouver, BC to visit a church and also two churches in Portland. I'm not sure why, but maybe it was the constant downpour of rain or the fact that I recently turned 50 not too long ago. My sassy daughter would say that was a year and a half ago, Dad. Get over it. I don't know if it was that or maybe the political climate or all of the above. But I have been reflecting on my life in ministry and calling from a whole new perspective, glancing backward more than usual. It has been a wilderness experience of a spiritual sort, the kind that is full and empty at the same time, the kind that is politically exhausted and devastated, but simultaneously hopeful, the kind that is hungry for more but satisfied with less. The wilderness is a place where we become numb and we can't even remember what it's like to feel anymore. You may have entered that wilderness when you grew ill or when you lost a job or wrecked a relationship or alienated your children. Sometimes the journey is slow and subtle until one day you realize that you've forgotten how to dream and everything around you does not look familiar. And certainly all of us progressives feel like the political realities of today have forced us and our values and our dreams and our hopes far away. We have entered the political wilderness. As Barbara Brown Taylor says, a wilderness comes in many shapes and sizes, that the only way you can realize that you are in one is to look around you and what you normally count on to save your life and come up empty. No food, no earthly power, no special protection, just a Bible quoting devil and a whole bunch of sand. None of us choose to enter the wilderness. I assume that Jesus didn't. But I've come to realize that being in the wilderness may not be such a bad thing. I challenge you to look back at your life and think about the lessons that you have learned and the insights and the aha moments that have led you to change or to root yourself in deeper trust. And I'm willing to bet that they most likely happened in a wilderness experience. The wilderness is a place where the memory is stirred, priorities are examined, and trust is reevaluated. Jesus draws on the stories that fed him as a child, the stories of struggles and visions of his people. And in doing so, he is able to navigate the alternative facts that the devil throws at him. He is able to be present in the moment and never falter in the face of persecution. My mother was such a person. She stood 5 feet tall, slender, with brown, long brown hair. She could both yodel and play the spoons. For the youth, that is not just a card game. That was an instrument back then. My mother was a feisty German who married an abusive alcoholic. I never really knew where she got her inner strength. She lived a life of adversity and abuse and influx, yet she was constantly grounded in the unshakable affirmation of her worth and purpose in life. Even though the forces around her beat her down at every turn, she was always able to survive with the confidence that everything would be okay. For her and for the family. Looking back at it, my mother was a prominent reason I became able to believe in myself. She waved hope as a banner and has always been my inspiration. Toni Morrison's book, Sula, is set in the early years of the 20th century in pre-civil rights America. Morrison presents a response of one African-American community to the persistent violence of the time. He writes this, "What was taken by outsiders to be slackness was in fact a full recognition of the legitimacy of forces other than good ones. The purpose of evil was to survive it, and they determined to survive floods and white people and tuberculosis and famine and ignorance. They knew anger well, but not despair. And they didn't stone sinners for the same reason they didn't commit suicide. It was beneath them. The purpose of evil is to survive it." Toni Morrison could have been describing my mother. They knew anger well, but not despair. Despair was beneath them. I will never know all that it cost my mom to be strong in the midst of so much turmoil. At the end, I guess it cost her health and life. But I do know that she lived a life where despair was never on the table, anything less than strength was beneath her. Sandy Brockway is another giant of strength in my life. Sandy has been a pastor in an inner city church in Spokane for the last 32 years. In a community that has been gentrified on all sides, except for West Central, Sandy stands as a beacon of hope and light in this most impoverished community in the state of Washington. She founded the Westminster House, the place where our youth return every year. This summer will be our fourth mission trip there. The Westminster House is a house of presence to the community. It is a house where everyone is welcomed and treated with dignity, regardless of their circumstance. I was a poor kid in Spokane that grew up in such a community as this. Sandy took me in. And every day in the last 32 years, Sandy meets people like me from broken homes. She confronts poverty and violence and abuse and addiction and offers them hope. Even in these days, Sandy does not despair, for that would be beneath her. Desmond Tutu once said, "Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness." There is certainly a pervasive and even persuasive story in our culture that none of us are fully immune from. It tells us that we cannot trust one another. We cannot trust anyone except for those in our inner circle. But my friends, as you know, that is an alternative fact that is not based upon or grounded in reality. The reality is that we are all beloved. And when we remember that about ourselves, then we can remember it about our neighbor. That is when we can begin to build the beloved community. So welcome to the wilderness, the world of alternative facts and lies that promote fear and anxiety and division at every turn. On sabbatical, in my soul-searching days at the gym and on weekends and in BC, I realized how blessed I am. I don't have to travel the wilderness on my own. I have a community that is Southminster. I also realize that perhaps we need the wilderness more than ever before. We need it to strip us bare of the lies around us. We need it to ignite a fire under our progressive butts. We need it to endure the long haul, one devil at a time, to teach us that despair is beneath us. I will never know my mother's strength if it was a burden or a source of joy in her life. I will never know. But perhaps if I remember her life, I can match her steps. Perhaps we can match the steps of those whose shoulders we stand on, those who prepared the way, those who made a way out of no way, those who traveled here before. Even in these days when it feels like we are being drenched on all sides and being kept from spring, even in these days when love seems to be the least of the virtues in our public life, Even in these days when we feel abandoned and divided and left to fend for ourselves, even in these days, we can find not only hope, but deep satisfaction and success in working together, in praying together, in serving together, because we witness for the only hope worth fighting for. Yes, my friends, even in these days, let despair be beneath us. Amen.